Hi, this is Alan Goldstein, otherwise known as the Soccer Yoda, bringing you views of the beautiful game from an American soccer geek, and that would be me. This is our first podcast. It's actually an outgrowth of the blog that I've been writing since about the year 2014. We're finally entering the 21st century. We're going to bring you my views by audio. The plan is for each podcast to be short, 5 to 10 minutes, and to cover one particular topic in the world of soccer only from an American viewpoint, or at least this American's viewpoint. And the topic for today is the United States Olympic team and its failure to make it to the Tokyo Olympics. A couple weeks ago, the team played a number of games to get to a semifinal of the entire preliminary Olympic tournament, and in that semifinal they played Honduras, and that was a must-win situation. Win, go to Tokyo; lose, go home, as the expression goes. And the Olympic team did lose 2-1 to Honduras. This is not a big deal. Four out of the last five times that the Olympic team has attempted to make it to the actual Olympics, it's failed to do so. And in the past, there hasn't been a whole lot of commentary, a whole lot of notice, matter of fact, about what the Olympic team was doing. But this time was different. This time, the game produced a ton of commentary on television, on social media, and not just from this country either. And many, many American soccer fans had their own say about what they felt was wrong, and of course, a lot of blame. Was it blame? Was it the coach's fault? Was it the United States Soccer Federation's fault? Was it the players themselves? Was it the entire development system in the United States for our sport? Which is something that gets blamed an awful lot every time the United States fails at some aspect of soccer. The difference this time, though, came about because of a positive, that being the increased interest in the United States for the sport, because Fox Sports felt that putting the last round of the Olympic qualifying tournament on television, on national television, might produce a big audience, and they were right. The last few games of the Olympic qualifying tournament, including the game against Honduras, was on national television, and a lot of people watched. Unfortunately, that meant a lot of people paid attention, and a lot of people had something to say about the fact that, once again, the Olympic team did not make it to the Olympics. In addition to being on national television, something else happened. Something which a lot of people didn't understand. And that was that the same day that the Olympic team was losing to Honduras, our senior national team, that's the one that goes to the World Cup and has our absolute best players in it, that team was playing a friendly game, which in other words was a meaningless game, with Northern Ireland, which the team won 2-1. The problem is that there were many players on that senior team playing a nothing game that could have been playing, or at least by their basic eligibility, which I'll explain in a minute, could have been playing for the Olympic team, and they weren't. And therefore, the talent level of the Olympic team was less than the best players that we have that could have qualified. Again, I'll explain that in a minute. And a lot of controversy then about that. How come the coach didn't take our best players? How come the United States Soccer Federation didn't get our best players? So, in order to explain that, which we're going to do right now, we have to go back into some soccer history when it comes to the world and the Olympics, too. Prior to 1992, since the beginning of the modern Olympics, which started around the end of the 19th century, and so therefore for the next 100 years or so, the Olympics were considered an amateur event. In order to play for your sport in the Olympics, you must not be taking money. You have to be an amateur, or had to be an amateur. That was the way the International Olympic Committee wanted it. That was the whole idea, that it was pure sport, not mixed with professionalism. However, as the 20th century went on, the line between amateurism and professionalism got very, very smushed, is a word I would use. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and some are political, and I don't want to talk about that. The fact is, though, that by the time 1992 came along, it was kind of tough to tell the professionals from the amateurs anyway, and so the Olympic Committee changed its tune and said, okay, we're going to leave it up to each sport to decide on its own whether or not that the people who participate in that sport can play if they're professionals. Most sports, particularly the ones who had professionals, jumped on and allowed their teams, their professionals, to play. In the United States, it was a big deal because basketball, which had been an amateur activity, now became professional, and the result was the very first dream team that represented the United States. It might have been the best basketball team ever put together. As far as soccer was concerned, FIFA, the international organization which governs the game, was okay with professionals playing in the Olympics. But there was a problem as far as FIFA is concerned, and that was the World Cup. As most soccer people, and even not soccer people, know, every 4 years, the national teams that survive a two-year-long qualifying tournament go to the World Cup to play for the World Cup championship, and it is considered to be the biggest athletic event in the world. FIFA loves that, of course. The problem, as FIFA saw it, was that if you're going to allow professionals in the Olympics, and the Olympics are every 4 years but in between World Cups, that means that every 2 years you now have a type of world championship, and they didn't want the competition for the World Cup. They wanted the World Cup to remain the primary national team championship without anybody talking about the Olympics. So, what did they do? They declared an age limit on the Olympic teams. It has to be players under the age of 23. Now, there are a lot of professionals who are very, very good who are under the age of 23 and who could play in the World Cup. They can also play in the Olympics if their national teams want them to do that. But without a doubt, the best teams that play in the World Cup have lots of players over 23. So in effect, the Olympics became a sort of a youth World Cup, you could say, except with the Olympic title on it. Now that in itself doesn't seem to be such a controversial thing, except that it's broader than that in this regard. Most of the players, I'll take that back, all the players that play in the World Cup also play for club teams, and they play for those club teams for a heck of a lot longer time than they play for their national teams, considering the fact that the national teams meet 5-6 times a year for a weekend or two. Maybe they have a camp, and there are some tournament championships that they play in every couple years. Club teams are like going all the time. They take a couple months off in summer, start up again, and so the people who would be playing in the World Cup are a lot more attached, you might say, to their club teams. FIFA says that if a senior national team is playing, whether it's in the World Cup or whether it's a friendly game, like against Northern Ireland, the club teams must release those players that play on the national teams. That's a requirement. But one of the rules that FIFA has in regards to underage tournaments, meaning like under 23, under 20, under 17, and so forth, is that club teams do not have to release their players. So if a club team decides that it's more important for an under 23 player to stay with them rather than play for their national Olympic team, they can hold them. And that is the problem with the United States Olympic team as of right now. The good news is that we do have, for the first time, a number of younger players that are professionals, that are really good, and are playing for some of the top club teams in the world, teams like Barcelona, Juventus, Chelsea. And those players play on our senior national team. So if the senior national team says, we're going to take a weekend and play a couple games, like against Jamaica and Northern Ireland, which is exactly what happened, the club teams, Barcelona, Chelsea, Juventus, etc., have to release the players. They have to let them go and play for the senior team. Not so for the Olympics. The Olympics are an under-23 activity. So even if Christian Pulisic, probably our best player, is under-23 playing for Chelsea, if he wants to go play for the United States Olympic qualifying team, Chelsea can say, nope, we're not letting you go. And that was the reason why so many of our best under-23 players, who happen to be our best players, period, were not playing for the Olympic team, although on the very same day they were playing for the senior team against Northern Ireland. So that leaves the Olympic team pretty much devoid of our top talent. Not only that, but even at home, the Atlanta team in the MLS, Atlanta United, decided that they weren't going to release their players who could have played for the Olympic team. There was three players who play for Atlanta United, but they had a cup game coming up sooner than the season opener for the MLS, and they didn't release their players either. So we had what you might consider to be a shorthanded Olympic team trying to qualify. And that explains why so many of our best players weren't even playing that day, even though lots of them were already playing for the United States national team on the exact same day. Lots of people didn't know that. So lots of blame for the coach for not taking our best players. The coach didn't have a choice. If the Olympics had decided, if our Olympic organization had decided, we want Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Sergiño Dest, these players who are playing for top professional teams, we wanted them to play for the Olympic team, they wouldn't have got them anyway, because the club teams didn't have to release them, and they wouldn't have released them. So, what about our development as a country of our youth? Well, that's a big issue too, but that is not directly involved in the Olympic team, at least not in my point of view. The Olympic team lost because they just weren't good enough, and that might go to how many quality players we do have for the United States at the younger age group, and that is a discussion point. So when we come down to it, the reason that the team lost could be one of many. It could be because the players didn't play enough together, because there's a lot of rotation. Was there too much rotation of those players? They didn't all play together for that long a period of time. Another question or another statement is, does it matter anyway? Frankly, the soccer community around the world doesn't pay that much attention to the Olympics anyway, because it is an under-23 activity, and many of the countries who have won the Olympics have not then taken those younger teams and produced greatly in the World Cup. So given that there's no automatic transference of success in the Olympics and success in the World Cup, lots of people don't care about it. There is one particular statement made by Tim Howard, the former excellent goalkeeper for the United States, and now a commentator, and he said that our players at that level are not used to playing in big games and having big moments, and that caused them to lose, and there is something to be said for that. Our excellent goalkeeper, David Ochoa, frankly gave away the winning goal by a goof that pretty much handed Honduras the win. They didn't really earn that goal. Later in the game, when we were pressing, we had a lot of chances to score at least the equalizer. Our players just couldn't seem to get their foot on the ball in the right manner to get it past the Honduran defense and into the goal. A lot of people would have said they froze. How come? How come they're not getting those moments? And in my estimation, in what the Soccer Yoda sees from this, is the idea that a lot of our players are missing the chance to represent something bigger than themselves like they do on the national team. And that is because they don't play high school soccer. Why not? Because the organizations involved in youth soccer, a lot of them, and in youth soccer in the United States is one confusing ball of wax. But there's a lot of the organizations that have the top players in them that don't want them playing high school. They feel that those 3 months out of the year that would go away from their various clubs to the high schools hurt the development of the players. However, a lot of people, including myself and some other pretty notable soccer people in this country, disagree in this regard. Playing for your high school means that you're playing for more than your club team. Playing for your high school represents a large organization. Playing for your high school gives people who don't even know you as a high school player a chance to see who you are, a chance to go watch you play because you are representing them. Sometimes it's a whole community that's being represented by that high school team, which means every game acquires a bigger meaning than playing for a club, no matter how good that club may be when it comes to its standard of soccer. There is something about representing your community, your school, a large group of people bigger than yourself that people who play high school sports get. And our soccer players who don't play high school don't get that. And in my opinion, that has a lot to do with failure to play in big games, in big moments. And I know a lot of people might want to disagree with me on that, but that's why I'm out here throwing stuff out. If you want to comment, you can send a comment to my Soccer Yoda page in Facebook. Let me know what you think. If you want to hear more, stay tuned for the next podcast that we have. You can check out my page again on Facebook. And forgive the shameless plug, if you'd like to know what the Soccer Yoda's views are when it comes to developing youth tactics, my book, Concept Soccer, is available on Amazon, including a number of other people too, but mainly people tend to get their books from Amazon. Just search for Concept Soccer Allen, and it'll come right up. If you really like the game and you really like coaching youth, it might be the best $25 you ever spend. Thanks a lot for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be talking to you next time.